Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right. Happy Wednesday, y'all. Halfway through the week. We can do it. We can do it. We're going to do it together. Tonight, we got a great show. We got Taylor Nolan, former Bachelor contestant, also podcast host and psychotherapist. We're going to be talking about actually the intersections of all those things, right? How The Bachelor, her work as a sex therapist, and also her podcast and all that kind of intersect and come together. And then later in the show, of course, we'll be doing a little celebrity rehab. Right now, though, let's talk about some new stuff. An HIV vaccine could be available as soon as 2021. Now, we were talking last night about how New York City released their new HIV statistics, and they are way ahead of the game with the reduced, severely reduced new infections because of the work they're doing around advocacy, but also more importantly about getting people on medication and also PrEP. Now, the experts are saying it's optimistic, but let's chill for a second that we're in late stage trials and that's good, and that there could be something effective by 2021. One of the researchers said perhaps one of the most optimistic moments we've been in thus far, but they're always cautious saying it's in trials. But how amazing. And we got a little more info on our website, wearechannelq.com, if you want to read more on that. You know, again, most optimistic place we've been yet. That's kind of great. I mean, New York City is looking to eradicate it, new diagnoses, I think they said by around like 2021 as well. And they're way ahead of the game. So that's stunning. I'm always supportive of that. That's why we're always still trying to educate people about PrEP, treatment as prevention, and undetectable equals untransmittable, because these are really massive, important things. Also, we're always talking about how PrEP now has the 2-1-1. There's an on-demand protocol where you take a pill 2 to 24 hours before sex you want to have, and 24 hours, one more pill after, and another pill 24 hours after that. And you don't have to always take it every single day. Soon it'll be available for the uninsured and also available over the counter. So that's awesome. Those that knew, we were talking about how putting your bum in the sun can give you the most vitamin D. Josh Brolin came out saying, yeah, I tried it, but it burnt me. I love weighing in. I got to see the photos of these people on their backs with their legs spread with the sun, getting in on their bums, getting all in. All right. Right now, though, we're going to talk about this Azealia Banks thing. She's always doing something. It's very confusing. Is she pro-gay? Is she anti-gay? So we have Stephen Horbelt, the executive editor of Hornet, joining us to kind of break this down for us. What's up, Stephen? What's going on? What do you got?
How are you, Chris?
I'm good, man. So help us make sense of this, because I feel like Azealia Banks is constantly in the news and it's never something positive. Give us the specifics, like what's going on with her?
Yeah, well, what's interesting is it's never about her music either.
God bless.
So this news story, it's kind of a story in three parts, right? So it started back in October. You may remember that Frank Ocean threw a queer in New York City,
yes,
called PrEP Plus.
Yes. Which I thought was great, right? Because it's a way to promote the whole PrEP concept, get people to ask questions about what it is and kind of spread the word.
It was. And the premise of the party was actually, it was actually really cool, because he was trying to say, you know, he wanted a dance party that was as if, as if they had had PrEP back in the 80s, right? So it had this really cool premise. Azealia Banks did not like it. She basically took to Instagram stories. She criticized gay men who take PrEP. She claimed that they only take it so that they can be promiscuous, that they're irresponsible, that they have a sex addiction, they need therapy.
It's so, and what's interesting about that is people are taking it so that they can have more sex, but it's the most responsible thing one could actually do. It's such a sign of sexual health and wellness.
I would think so too. It's taking that proactive step that a lot of people don't do.
Right.
But yeah, she called it a death trap. She claimed she spread a lot of misinformation, claiming it gives people liver failure, it gives them anal cancer. She also called Frank Ocean evil for promoting PrEP use among gay men. But so that was in October. The reason why we're talking about it now is because only a few days ago, over this past weekend, she actually apologized, which is probably the most shocking thing Azealia Banks has done.
All right, good.
She called her previous word. She had, you know, this whole diatribe was in an Instagram story, so a video on Instagram. But she called her words extremely insensitive. She said she acknowledged that it wasn't her place to comment. She acknowledged her own anger. She mentioned growing up with tough love, and she said that she wanted to do better. So that's kind of the second part of the story.
Okay.
But since then, literally days after this apology, she was right back to spouting homophobic comments on Instagram. She told one user, and this is a quote, "I have no clue why you gay boys think women actually care what you think." And she's now officially bid adieu, and those are her own words, to the gays. So it would seem like she's right back to where she started from.
It's just so odd to me. Like, I'm always shocked when people with a big public platform want to target any kind of community, especially the gay community. Like, what is that? Do we have any idea as to what that's about specifically? Or is she just someone who hates on everyone?
I mean, it's funny because the gays up until now have really been people jokingly on social media were saying, you know, she's had it with the gays. She's bidding adieu to the gays, but the gays were her last, the last real community that supported her.
That's what my producer Jeffrey just said. He's like, the gays were her last fan base. She had isolated everyone.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are saying. But, you know, she's no stranger to controversy. She's widely acknowledged, I feel, as one of these people whose talent is kind of overshadowed by the antics.
Okay.
You know, she's constantly got beef with everyone. So this isn't super surprising, but it's disappointing.
Yeah, God bless her. All right, we'll make sure we don't play her music over here. Although I'm not mad at it. You know, I mean, there was a time when I liked her remix with Lana Del Rey, who I'm not necessarily always a fan of, but like their mashup was bomb.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's got a lot of people who really stand by her because of her music. They love her music, and it's just a shame that she's constantly, you know, these beefs, these social media fights, really overshadow the music.
Yeah, unfortunately, my politics and ethics don't allow me to support the work of someone whose politics and ethics I think are offensive and violent. So, you know, I'm bidding adieu to her. I'll be taking her off my Spotify playlist. All right, Stephen Horbelt from Hornet, where can people find you?
Hornet.com. Find us there.
Beautiful. Thanks for being with us, man.
Thanks, Chris.
Have an awesome night. Bye. All right, coming up next, we got Taylor Nolan, former Bachelor contestant and psychotherapist, joining us. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Tonight we got Taylor Nolan with us, former Bachelor contestant, psychotherapist, and podcast host of Let's Talk About It. What's going on, Taylor?
Not much. Thanks for having me.
That's quite a resume.
It is. They kind of contradict each other a little bit, yeah. But, you know, it's multifaceted.
So what I love about it is The Bachelor is such a powerful force in our culture around sex and relationships and romance.
It is.
That, in my mind, it's a natural extension for someone like you to have participated and then to come out of it.
Yeah, it was both it was a good experience personally, but also professionally, just to observe and experience. Like, I was definitely in there with a little bit of my therapist hat on, but also just like experiencing things personally. So it did make a lot of sense for me.
Yeah, it's funny. I've literally been in my practice before where someone comes in, they're talking about something. I'm like, you've been watching the season of The Bachelor because you're internalizing some of these messages and scenarios.
Yes, there's some layers there. It does provide a good teaching opportunity every
sure
now and then,
is.
But when there's not the teaching there, there's some messages that maybe shouldn't be absorbed.
It can sometimes, like, what I do like about it, though, is the idea that, like, me and you were talking about this in the hallway, about how dating is an experience of numbers, where you're with multiple people, seeing if any of them have enough of a connection, we want a relationship. And so I like that it normalizes that.
Does to some extent,
but you are so not on board
to some extent because people still look at it as like the girls are all desperate and they're all, you know, comparing each other, and so there are some unhealthier dynamics.
I don't like the competitive part. You know, the competitive part, no good. They shouldn't have to compete. But what bothers me is the idea that if someone's interested in love, that they're desperate.
Yeah.
Why can't it just be, it's a beautiful thing if you can find ways to access it and if you can go on television and have fun with it. Like, why is that desperate?
Yeah. That's a tough one. And I think with the guys, like on The Bachelorette, it's less. Like, you hear that less. It's predominantly with the women on The Bachelor that you hear that they're desperate.
It's funny to watch the dudes, though. Like, when they get all vulnerable. Like, I love yes. watching that. These tough guys. Okay. So, let's talk about this for a second. So, do you think, and I feel like you kind of just answered, but do you think that The Bachelor has had a positive or negative impact on our cultural ideas around sex, dating, and romance? I know it's a big question.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a mix, right?
I think it's been bad.
I do think there's a lot of bad in there. I would say there are moments that are really positive, right? And I think sometimes we see those moments and other times they go left unfortunately.
It's an unfair question. Tonight we're talking with Taylor Nolan, former Bachelor contestant and psychotherapist and podcast host. So when you entered the show, you were already a therapist.
Yes, I had just graduated with my master's in May and then was filming. I was 22 and then turned 23 in July and then went on the show in September.
And what did your friends and family think? Desperate or excited for you?
My stepdad's the one that encouraged me and pushed me to apply.
Good. I love that.
He was drunk.
Oh, sometimes that's where the best decisions come from. You know what I mean? Like, let's not be mad about it.
Yes, and I don't drink, but let him influence me in applying for the show.
So me and you met at a sex therapy training.
Yes.
So talk to me about your interest in that. What made you realize I want to go from psychotherapist to sex therapist? Because that's a bold move still.
I guess. Yeah. I've always been really open about sex and dating in my personal life. And it's something that, honestly, I mean, it lights me up. It's like the most exciting, fun thing to talk about. And it is so impactful in our lives, right? And how we experience connection, not only with ourselves, but with other people. And, you know, even when I was in getting my bachelor's, my favorite class was human sexuality. Mm. And I remember Dr. Kate Thomas and being like, wow, she was such a great professor and I love what she does. And I could see myself doing that one day. But I didn't want to pigeonhole myself. I wanted to be able to like do anything related to counseling. But now it feels like a great opportunity to have a little bit of a specialty and get certified as a sex therapist. That's right. Because I want to do that kind of therapy with my clients as I feel that's really necessary and needed. And even with my podcast listeners, right, and followers on Instagram. And it's just, it makes me excited, right? And whatever I'm doing in my life and in my career, I want it to be something that is also giving back to me, right? And it's so fulfilling.
Yeah, I respect that. Because for me, when I was doing general psychotherapy, and I say this lovingly, I was bored. Yeah. I didn't find it as dynamic and as exciting. And when I entered into the world of like sexology and sex therapy, that's when I was like, whoa, not only is it exciting and dynamic, it's edgy, it's controversial. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's like a lot of activism in there. Mm-hmm. So do you like the activism part of it?
I do. And I like the making people uncomfortable part.
Oh, that's just the cherry on that sundae. That's right.
Yes. I love, love, love making people feel uncomfortable and just taking them off guard, right? Because I think, I look very young, right? And I still am young. I'm also a woman of color. And I think sometimes it throws people off guard for me to speak so confidently and just openly about my sexuality and my sexual experiences. And I really like challenging that. And I don't know. I guess it just does give me a little bit of life and perhaps fuel some of my like pettiness towards underestimating me a little bit. And you're like, okay, yeah.
Wait, that's one of my favorite quotes on the show in a long time. It helps fuel some of my pettiness. I like that you're both owning your pettiness and that you found a great channel for it to use it. Yes. Using your pettiness for good. All right. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Taylor Nolan. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
All right, we're back. And tonight we're talking with Taylor Nolan, former Bachelor contestant, psychotherapist, and also podcast host of Let's Talk About It. So we ended last segment talking about your pettiness.
Yep.
Well done. But what I thought was exciting about, you know, spending the weekend with you in the training was, you know, you were one of the people that was so present and so activated and so in the work. And that's exciting for me because, again, you know, as a psychotherapist, you get to do the work in your office, but you don't always get to sit there and just geek out on these these topics, because mm-hmm. not everyone can talk about in the ways we can.
Yeah. Yeah. And even in my personal life, you know, it's not a topic that everyone I'm friends with can really dig deep into.
Right.
And for me, it's, you know, not only challenging myself professionally, but also personally, right? Like a lot of the things that we go through in the trainings and that I'm learning is pushing me outside of my comfort zone. And that's an area that's uncomfortable for sure, but I think is always good to go into and have a healthy amount of in your life. Just like I am, you know, excited and petty and controversial about making other people feel uncomfortable, I sometimes
it's
have to do it to myself
needed.
Too.
But that's why, okay, I'm a little, what's the word? Fatherly over like therapy. And that's why I'm thankful mm-hmm. that people like you are in the field, because of what you literally just said, that you're mm-hmm. willing to make yourself uncomfortable.
Yeah, you have to.
And we have to make the world uncomfortable, because sex is still, look, we live in a sex-obsessed culture, but we still don't have a healthy relationship with it. Mm-hmm. We're obsessed with it. But there's a lot of messages out there that are messed up.
Yeah.
So weigh in on this one. Dating, based on the kind of work you do, has it been good for you or bad for you? Has the work made your dating life more difficult or easier?
Doing my work makes my dating life sometimes feel like more work.
Amen. I'm with you there.
Where other people then unconsciously and unintentionally turn me into their therapist, and where I then am just way too aware sometimes of all the things that are happening that require work, and then tricking myself and thinking, well, I know all the tools, I know all the skills, I can do this work, we can make it work.
So you stick around too long, is that what I'm hearing?
I do. But I will say my last relationship, I left it at a good time. I definitely could have left 2-3 months earlier, but felt very good about being assertive and confident in that decision, and not staying longer, as I know in my past relationships I have.
Beautiful. Because I've done that historically as well. We're like, no, I can make this work. I got mm-hmm. have those skills and tools. And it's like a year later, and finally a friend has to be like, dude, let it go.
Yes.
You tried.
And this was all my friends and all my family.
Right.
So it was time.
but then we learn, we get better. But I think there's also, I think it scares people too, because of the work I do, and they make these assumptions about me analyzing them on dates. But I'll tell you, the mm-hmm. kiss of death is always on a date. And this happened a couple times on a first date where they're like, man, I could use a therapist. And I'm like, oh no, here we go. And they're like, they'll like map out all their issues. And I'm like, too soon, too much, too soon, too broken, bless, gotta go.
Yeah. And like, I'm not going to be that therapist for you, so you don't need to unload all of that on me now.
And like, it's a first date, so authenticity and vulnerability, awesome, but don't lead with your struggles, because I still have to find something to hang on to want to see you again.
Yeah,
that's not gonna do it.
Yeah. And I do think just being open and honest about, you know, going through my training to be certified as a sex therapist, it does impact my dating in the sense that people kind of assume I'm like very overly sexual, and that I'm like, you know, just gonna want to have lots of sex all the time, which sometimes, but not all the time.
No, I love that you're bringing that up. I mean, being on The Bachelor and also working within sex, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's this, like, it's almost, what do you want to call it? Like inverted sex, inverted slut shaming, where we assume you have no boundaries or mm-hmm. you know. So tonight we're talking with Taylor Nolan, former Bachelorette contestant, psychotherapist, and podcast host. Yeah, I said that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tend to say that really quickly. I've had that happen to me as well. I was telling a story on Loveline a couple months ago about how I was doing a talk show. I was guesting on someone's show. I was behind the scenes, and the producer was like, I think I was talking this at the training.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, okay, that's where I was talking about. I was like, I know I told this story recently. And the producer was like, so like, I live down the street. And I was like, oh, that's cool, must be a quick walk to work. And they were like, no, like, I live down the street. And I was like, oh, hold up.
Yeah.
No, I don't have sex with whoever, wherever, whenever. Like, I still have, you know, boundaries and, you know, standards.
Yeah.
So you get that too?
I do. And I get a lot of questions about like how often I masturbate. And I know like part of that is, it's both from women and from men.
Right.
But I know part of it is wanting to learn, right? And wanting to not feel alone in the things that they struggle with sexually.
Beautiful.
But the other part of it is just like, I don't want to be overly sexualized, and I don't want my whole personality and like professional being to be that of just, you know, sexuality, I guess, which I don't know. I guess for me, again, it's that like owning and encouraging and feeling empowered in that, in being multifaceted.
You just saying that probably means you will. Because it's telling you have an awareness of being seen as well-rounded, which means you probably will force that upon people and request that. And I think it's a beautiful thing because you're more than just that one piece.
Yeah, and not to say that the just being seen as a sexual being is a negative thing or you know shameful by any means, but that there's so many different parts of my personality and of my interests and my values. And I want to feel freed and empowered to explore all of those things.
Yeah.
So someone can certainly see me for my sexuality. That's great. But will you also see me for my quirkiness or for my education or anything else, you know?
So talk to me a little bit about, as a woman of color and being female identified, how does that intersect with your sexuality and the work you do? How's that changed all that?
Yeah, well, I can't specific say to like the work that I do yet, but I will say on Instagram, at least, I have noticed that I get a lot more backlash than the heterosexual, cis, female identified women,
right.
White, blonde. When they are promoting, you know, or expressing their sexuality, that is met with a lot of encouragement and like, you go, girl. But when I do it, again, on like my personal platform, it's shamed against, you know, I'm not being professional and being someone in the helping field, I should know better.
There's a higher standard for you.
Super higher standard for me. And to that, again, my pettiness comes in and I'm like, well, here's another photo of my ass. Enjoy.
Yeah. You're going to shame it, then I'm going to, as an activist, hold space for that and you're going to hold me as all the things I am because I'm still a professional. But that's why we need more people like that, because respectability politics, the idea that there's only one way to be seen or taken seriously is a mess.
Yeah.
Because you're allowed to be a sexual being, you're allowed to enjoy bathing suits, you're allowed to want to lead with your erotic capital and also be a professional.
Yeah, and I do think it's an interesting space for me to step into because getting into the sex field in general, I am noticing it's pretty white. It's a pretty white field of sexuality.
Yeah.
And so I want to be very intentional about not withdrawing myself from that and feeling like I don't belong there and not like being smaller in that, like especially like on Instagram, right? And not wanting to make people feel too uncomfortable with my just overall authentic presence. So it's a balance, but I'm trying.
Oh, I love the work you're doing. I look forward to see where you land. Taylor Nolan, where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram at Taymocha, that's TAYMOCHA, and on my podcast, Let's Talk About It with Taylor Nolan.
Awesome. Coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Now it's time for some DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris. I had a great date with the guy I'm seeing the other night. Ended up staying over his house for the first time. I was tired and we ended up falling asleep. It was actually really nice to fall asleep together. The next morning, we cuddled a little bit, kissed briefly, but didn't make out too much. He said he's not really a morning person and doesn't usually do that in the morning. He just likes giving a quick morning peck. Of course, I take it personally that he didn't want to kiss me. But should I? Is that normal? Yeah, it's normal. Your breath probably stank. His breath stank. Your breath stank. He doesn't want that in his mouth. That's really normal. People, look, you slept over for the first time. He has anxiety maybe about, again, your breath, his breath, who knows. So some people are sensitive to that. They want to get up, rinse out, brush their teeth. So don't personalize it. You had a great date. Trust that. Trust your intuition. It went great. You slept over. That's awesome. It felt good sleeping next to him. You kissed. Be happy. Don't find a problem where there isn't a problem and you might be doing that. You're a little anxious. It sounds like you like him a lot. That's what I'm kind of hearing. I like him a lot and I want to make sure I can feel secure in this. So I just want to problem solve anything. All's well. All is well. I'm that way. Although I have before gone all in with our stanky breath. And I'll tell you, those listeners, stanky breath plus stanky breath equals okay breath. If you go all in, it kind of neutralizes. So don't be scared. Don't be scared. But yeah, do not personalize it. Do not worry. Often it's more about the other person and less about yourself. So, you know, let go. Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. Coming up next, we'll be kicking it with Jarrett Hill because that's what we do on Wednesday nights and then doing a little celebrity rehab with Nick Mora. Stick around. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline with Dr. Chris, Channel Q.
All right, we're back. And so now we're doing a little buddy talks. We got Jared Hill from Drop the Subject with us.
That's me.
So I didn't realize that you are on every show. I just found out that you do a crossover with The Morning Show.
Yes. There are some Wednesdays when I'm on every show on the network.
Oh, wow. Look
yeah, because I'll do Drop the Subject, but we do Crosstalk with The Morning Show. And then sometimes I'll go on Let's Go There and do some political stuff.
Do you really? I used to do a crossover with Let's Go There, but it got a little too hot.
Well, I do.
We trigger each other.
We don't do crosstalk. Sometimes I'll come on and do political commentary based on some things that have happened in the day. So, yeah.
We'll have to have you on to do that sometimes. We don't necessarily get into politics on my show that often that capacity. So we'll have to do that. So you had me over for your post-Thanksgiving. What did you call it?
I called it a Friendsgiving hangover. So it's a Friday Thanksgiving party. I called a friend of mine and I was like, oh my God, what did I just do? He was like, what's wrong? I was like, so my party's on Friday. This is on Wednesday. I was like, everything's totally fine, but I just invited a vegan and I don't have anything going for him.
Aww.
And he was like, what are you talking about? I was like, I don't have anything that's vegan. And so then I was like scrambling, trying to figure out what to make for you, because I've had plenty of dinner parties with vegans and it's always been really great.
Yeah.
But like, this was like a last minute emergency crash situation.
Well, let me just say that I appreciate you even taking the time to think about that and caring to get me something, because I've been to a lot of parties or events and they're just kind of like, yeah, sorry. And it's like, wow, that's not hospitable or kind. Like, you do have to consider who you're having over. If you're having people over, like, consider who's coming over.
Yeah. Like, so here's a bowl of cashews.
Yeah. But I appreciate it. And it was really good. Now, what was really funny is after I had my delicious soup and the cauliflower and the mushrooms and all that, you said, don't worry, have some of the homemade hot chocolate.
No.
You were like, it's vegan. I was like, oh, that's
great.
Well,
I said it's made with almond milk, so it should be totally fine.
So I scoop it into my little fancy schmancy mug, because he had these like gold leafed little handy dandies.
Those are vintage.
A little way too fancy for my big clunky hands.
Vintage teacups for my
afraid of like breaking them.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it and I was like, there just was something off. I could tell that there was dairy in there. So I like sniffed it and I like did a little tongue thing and I was like, Jarrett, what's in here? And Jarrett literally goes, a bunch of chocolates, like milk chocolate.
I said milk chocolate and cocoa powder. And like, as I said milk chocolate, I heard it come out of my mouth and I thought, that's going to be a problem. That's probably not going to work.
But what's really funny is years ago, this was a good 15 years ago, I was at this house party and they had made vegan meatballs and regular meatballs. And I was so thankful. And they, you know, and I'm eating the vegan meatballs and I was like, these are so good. And this was a long time ago before they really had delicious ones. And at one point, my friend who was hosting was like, wait a minute, you're eating them from the pan with the red spatula, right? And I was like, no. And he's like, okay, because you've been eating the regular meatballs.
Oh, no.
The entire party got quiet and they're looking at me. And I'm looking at them, look at me. And they're wondering what my response is going to be. And I don't know what my response should be.
Oh,
I'm looking at them,
God.
They're looking at me. And like, I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Did you get sick afterward?
I don't think so. The only thing that really gets me sick is dairy.
Okay.
I think, I can't tell you, I mean, that meat accident. Nothing has happened meat-wise since then, as far as I know. I've had two or three dairy accidents, and like I can usually tell that my stomach can feel and cramps up.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
well, I will tell you, the tuxedo hot chocolate was very good.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone enjoyed that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But also, let's just quickly jump into something I'd said on my IG story that a lot of people reached out about and you brought up at your party. And I was talking about how I had gone on a couple dates with someone. My heart was really hurt. You know, again, not that I had known this person long, and I was just expressing to people on IG in a moment of vulnerability and trying to inspire people about how, you know, it's just so powerful in those moments when you want to harden the most, when your heart hurts, but you have to like practice softening and being available, and that it's a powerful moment when you're so present and available that you can let someone hurt you and that you have to keep doing it anyway. And when people want to just shut off and close down.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the first time I went through a really difficult breakup. It was for me, the thing that had become the most vulnerable was like being open to like ideas and dreams and hopes of things for us, and like recognizing like I was mourning the loss of that relationship. But then even the like shorter term things where it's like you just met someone and you're kind of like feeling them and you start to like have ideas about things and stuff like that. And like even that can be kind of hard to like rip that Band-Aid off.
Yes.
Which is something I've kind of experienced even recently, like starting to talk to someone and liking them and then being like, I'm feeling too much about this. I need to like pull myself back a little bit because you're not in a place to give what I want. And that's difficult. Yeah.
It is difficult. It's difficult also because I think sometimes the most beautiful part of early dating before you know what could be is those romanticized moments of like letting your mind wander.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Hoping. And I'm always cautious about reeling that in too much because I think that's like the most beautiful magical moments of that.
It absolutely is. And like with him, for instance, we had a really awesome first date. I had such a great time. And I lately, like probably in the last year, if I have a really good first date with someone and they ask me like, oh, how was it? I'll be like, it was amazing. We had a really great time. We might get married and I might never see him again.
That's
I don't
right.
know.
I love like, how you, honest you that is, know. Right? Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, there's nothing better than falling in love within the first hour.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've done it before.
And I'll be honest, like it was someone I've been talking to for a while and I really was not sure how I was going to feel about it in person. But we've been texting and all that kind of stuff and on the phone and then, you know, we were in person and I was like, this vibe feels really good.
So you've had one in person?
We've had one in person, but we've been talking for months, but he's been traveling a lot with work and okay. I was in and out. And so like, but it was difficult for me because I was like, I feel like I care about this more than you do. And there's, that is a bit more yeah. unsafe than I want to be right now.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. The most in control position is to be the one that desires less.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I've been in that position and I know like what that feels like. And I've been on the other side of it as well. And so it's not a good feeling to be the person who's like, I kind of want this more than you do.
Yeah.
But I also recognize like the power that comes in being to say, able to say like, I also don't have to do this and I can walk away from it. So, yeah.
Because Tinder's got tons of people waiting for you, Jared. Where can people find you if they want to ask you out because your phone's a little too dry? Where can they find
please.
You?
Please. You can find me every day here on Channel Q from 10 to 2 Pacific, 1 to 5 Eastern, doing Drop the Subject with Jared and Allie. Over the next week and a half, we'll have guest hosts every day because Allie's out of town in Asia. So it'll be kind of a fun, different kind of vibe. We'll be
awesome.
Doing different things every day. Char Jocel will be here.
Love Char. Love Char.
Yeah, she's going to be here on Thursday.
Beautiful. All right. Question night still up on our Loveline IG page. So weigh in on that. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. We're back. And now it's time for a little celebrity rehab. So, of course, we've got Nick Mora, Loveline's pop culture guru with us. Nick, what's going on this week?
Hey, Dr. Chris. So, you know, it's the holidays and a lot of people are breaking up right before Christmas time, right?
Like,
It is like the worst timing of all time. I'm personally going through a breakup right now. So this article came out in perfect timing with what I wanted to talk about. Jenna Dewan has a book coming out and she writes about her divorce with Channing Tatum and how she, you know, she had her nights with her girls where she needed to drink wine. But there was also nights where she like could not get out of bed and mornings where she could not get out of bed. And with the holidays coming up, I thought it would be really great for us to talk about some very positive ways to help you get over a breakup in a time that's really hard for people. You feel really alone now more than ever.
Yeah, breakups are hard enough, but especially during the holidays when you want to be cuddling up to someone or getting gifts or doing something cute, it's even more intense. That's a great question.
Yes, thank you.
Bam. All right, Nick, we love you. Okay, so listen, this is an important one because I think a lot of people, they really get hung up on this. So when we go through a breakup, we often focus exclusively on the physical, right? Where we separate ourselves and we don't see them in real time. And that's great. And you need to do that. But what we often don't focus on or think about is the psychological separation. And you need to do that. Why? Because neurologically, you're wired together. And if you're constantly thinking about them or talking about them, you are emotionally and psychologically still around them and spending time with them. So you have to go through an emotional and psychological breakup too. So what does that mean? It means you're not spending time with them physically anymore, but you also have to A, stop talking about them. You have to go through a period initially of mourning it and talking to your friends about it, but at some point you have to move on beyond that. And your friends can support you in that by saying, let's not talk about them anymore. You're bringing them into the room and they're not even here. Also, the other way you psychologically break from them is to not be creeping on their social media. I know you might want to do that, but you need to block them or unfollow them and stop looking because again, it's going to keep you emotionally and psychologically tied to them. Psychologically, because you're thinking about them, emotionally, because your experience, your mood, how you're going to feel that day is going to be tied to what you're seeing and what they're doing. You want to separate that out. So again, that's how you separate physically, emotionally, and psychologically. Also, Focus on self-care because you're emotionally sad. A breakup is a real thing. We only honor physical breaks like a leg or an arm, but psychological breaks are just as painful and we have to honor those as well. So do a lot of self-care. Maybe you need to call out that day or that week. Maybe you need to stay home and take a bath, lay on the couch, sleep, watch movies. But people don't want to honor that, right? They want to say, you got to get back to work. You got to keep going. No, just like I'd be allowed to lay on my couch while if I broke my leg, if your heart's broken, you can take time and honor that. Don't feel bad about asking and needing that. So that's the second piece. Really honor the mourning process. Also, socialize. You're going to want to hibernate, and that's okay, but also get yourself out there. Allow yourself to find some fun still. You can honor the loss while also focusing on distraction and fun. You can do both. And so make sure you are at some point still seeing your friends or going out and doing things, because this is a really powerful time to also try some things you hadn't done while you're with your last partner. And then finally, the last piece, and it's really one of the more important ones psychologically, is look at who you were and who you want to be again and who you don't want to be again. What can you learn from that past relationship or that breakup? That's what really gives it meaning and value, right? Seeing who you want to be again and having a learning lesson from that, because there's always something to learn. Even if we were as best as we could be, we still weren't at our top best, and there's things we can learn about who we need to be in our next relationship. So focus on that, right? Like looking back at the work. And also finally remember that it's not a success or failure. We tend to judge our relationships based on the length of time they last, but don't let that be the barometer for whether or not it was a successful relationship. The success of a relationship is determined by what kind of partner you were. And that might mean having to own that you weren't the best, but that's okay. You'll learn and be better next time. But don't let its shorter length of time determine it to be a failure. Not all relationships are able to be forever. We aren't always going to be growing at the same time, at the same rate, in the same way, and be synchronized and compatible. And that's got to be okay. Some relationships are a success because they end, because they are short term, because they don't go on forever. But our culture doesn't always honor that. So don't allow yourself to feel like a failure or for people to treat you like a failure. And just be careful about how you talk about it publicly as well, because you don't want to badmouth someone and make you look like a, you know, risky partner to be brought into someone's life in the future, because we're always marketing ourselves to future potential partners. So just be thoughtful about that. So take care of yourself. Make sure you unfollow them on social media. Don't go on and on about them, and get out there and let yourself still kind of have some fun. And if you're ready, get back to dating again. That's one of the powerful ways to get over it too. But that's a really good question. We'll be talking about that more. You know, this is one of the things that comes up quite often. Question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. What's your biggest relationship pet peeve? We'll be breaking that on down and then sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com. All right, we're back, yo, and we got a good one for you. We are channelq.com. Go to it now, because we're going to give you a chance to win a trip for two to Vegas. Wait for it. Airfare, hotel, tickets, and you're going to meet Lizzo. Oh, my God. We are channelq.com for your chance to win. Online only. It's a national contest, though. Come on. We're going to fly there, put you up, give you tickets, and you meet Lizzo. I'm telling you, I said this last night. Bring me. I will meet you in Vegas so I can meet Lizzo. I got close, though, at the We Can Survive concert. But anyway, I won't complain. All right, so time for question of the night.
Question of the night.
Tonight's question was, what's your biggest relationship pet peeve? Oh, share with daddy. Let it loose. Y'all sure did. Not being clear with expectations or what you're looking for. You know, if we all did that from the door and as we went along, a lot less people would be wounded. So let people know where you're at, what you're looking for, and also ask. People got to ask more questions. When in doubt, check in with the person you're talking to. Someone else said, relational pet peeve, game playing. Just no time for it. If you like someone, show them. Don't do the dance. I agree. If you got to manipulate and play games to get someone, then you don't have them. You know what I mean? It's a mess. Someone else said, not really knowing my triggers and also using my partner's triggers to get revenge. Bam. Healthy said. That's well done. Someone else said, smoking cigarettes and not being honest about emotions and intentions. I'm down with them as well. I don't date smokers. I just don't. Sorry. It's the one hard line I got. Also, yeah, not being honest, that one too. someone else said, I'm not a mind reader. Tell me what you're thinking. Yeah, there's a lot of those. Yo, listen, if you're hearing, I'm going to just keep saying yo all night, apparently. Not know where it's coming from. That's my Philadelphia roots. I'm a Philly boy, and we just yo it all up. So everyone wants to know where everyone's at. So let's all start telling people where we're at. There's something so beautifully vulnerable. Every time I've been that forthcoming, I always get a positive response, either asking or sharing. People want that. Someone else said people, oh, here we go. Biggest relationship pet peeve. Someone said people desperately wanting a partner. I'm going to push back on that one. I don't think there's anything wrong with actively desiring and seeking relationship. Someone else said not being consistent. I agree. Someone else said when they keep talking and the conversation is not equally engaging. There is nothing worse than being on a date where you have to be like, hey, yeah, so hi, someone right here. Someone else is here. Hi, yeah, let me talk. Ask me a question. Someone else said when they can't make time for you or ignore your text. The worst, or leave you on red. biggest relationship pet peeve, when they show signs of red flags. No, that shouldn't be a pet peeve. That should be a blessing. You say, thank you. Thank you for showing me all those red flags. I will lovingly show myself to the door and take my coffee to go. Somebody else said lack of stability. Agreed. Another relational pet peeve, our question of the night, when they have nothing positive to say about anyone or anything and constantly complain. I agree with that. You know, it's okay to talk about all the things that are bad in the world, but also focus on some of the good, especially if you're in an early relationship. Somebody else said when they consistently call you bud. I had someone call me out because I kept calling them dude. I was like, yo, dude. And they're like, my name's not dude. Relationship pet peeve. Someone said when they don't have any interest. Yeah, I'm with that one, you know, because I think a beautiful part of dating is when you get introduced to new people, new places, new things, new restaurants, and they don't have any interest. That's like a really, 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 really tough one. So, all right, y'all, thanks to all those that participated. Thank you for those that shared that. We're going to talk quickly, though, about the abortion pill. I know it's an odd segue, but this is really important. I always want to get people educated on what's going on, what options are. So, look, some people prefer an abortion pill because it's more private. And it can occur at home, and they don't necessarily want a surgical procedure. But there's a lot of misinformation. So the first one is, what's the abortion pill? Well, it's a medication that's going to stop the progress of a pregnancy, and it helps your body end that pregnancy. But it's actually two separate medications. It's not the same thing as the morning after pill, because that's emergency contraception. And the abortion pill takes about 2 days to complete. And you should, regardless of who prescribed the pill, know what all your reproductive choices are, and you should go see your primary or your OBGYN after, just for a follow-up. They want to definitely go to a doctor that understands your needs and can meet you where you're at. Some people ask about buying the pill online. The FDA is not supportive of that. They think it's not a great idea, but there are some telemedicine services that can provide access to medication, but you got to be really thoughtful about that. There's a company called Aid Access, and they can help provide abortions with the aid of telemedicine. It can be anywhere from $300 to $800, depending on where you live, and so for many people, it's very pricey. It's not dangerous. It's very safe, doctors say, and also abortion itself in general is. So, you know, do more information, side effects, cramping, some bleeding, some nausea, but definitely get followed up, ask questions, do research, and work with, you know, a primary or an OBGYN that understands your needs and can support you, because these are big decisions and everyone has a right to make choices about their body and their health. I just want everyone educated, right? There's a lot of misinformation out there. And so I want people to just get access to the right information, because there's a lot of people that will mislead you. So, you know, get many opinions, educate yourself, go in armed with all the right questions, because I want everyone to be healthy and taken care of. Coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs. Shows, podcasts, we are channelq.com. Always get on there and check it out. Old episodes, binge, share, check it out all the time. Listen to Loveline, Dr. Chris, on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and now it's time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world. We want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris. I broke up with a girl a few weeks ago, and I'm having trouble moving on. We're together for only a couple months, and there's a lot of things about her I loved, but ultimately, at the end of the day, I felt like there was something missing. I'm having trouble moving on, even though I ended it. I feel a lot of grief and sadness because I feel like I had something pretty good, but it was just a gut feeling that prevented me from continuing. So I feel like it had to end. Lack of chemistry, I feel like, sums it up. It just never clicked that well, except for the sex. How do I find closure in myself? Yeah, I can hear the struggle. It's a really difficult one, but you have to go with your intuition. You know, what I also hear is there's a person on the other end of this, right? And you want to look out for them. So if you're unsure and they're definitely interested, you got to be very thoughtful and kind and kind of set them free. You don't want to drag someone around with you if you're unsure. And lack of chemistry is a powerful thing. It's a really necessary thing. And chemistry is one of those things that we can't always put our finger on it, right? We might find someone objectively attractive. We might enjoy a lot of things about them. Sex might even be good, but there's just something missing. It's that romantic chemistry, right? Because there's sexual chemistry and there can be that romantic chemistry. It's really hard to qualify and quantify, but it's just that piece that makes us want to see them again and extend it into something kind of relational. And it can be very confusing for both parties. So I applaud you for taking care of yourself and this other person and ending it. How do you find closure in yourself? A couple different things. Number one, just you do have to go through the mourning process. There's no way to like short circuit that. There's no way to skip over that. You know, you are walking away from something that's had some value and meaning to you and feel bad about that. Like, that's okay. I don't want you to try to ignore that. So allow that part to kind of exist. I also think it's important for people to focus on what's possible in the future. So you got to kind of do that self-talk that, yeah, this is a bummer, but there's other people that are going to be as attracted to and have equally as good sex. So kind of sit in the feelings, but also allow yourself to know that there's more going on. And that's sometimes where I tell people, you know, it's okay to get right back out there and start dating again. You know, the studies show, we've talked about this before, that getting back out into dating can really remind us of what's possible, increase our mood, and also make us necessarily feel like the desirability that we need to feel. So it's okay to move forward. That doesn't dishonor the relationship that you're just moving out of. But again, closure, it's a funky, funky word, because sometimes people take that to mean I won't have any feelings. And you will. Things get triggered. You get reminded of things. You have moments of loneliness. You might even have moments of, you know, questioning the decision you made, but that doesn't mean it was a bad thing or the wrong thing. So I usually don't use the word closure because it speaks to this desire for finality and to have no emotions anymore and to be beyond it. So I don't use that word. I can say, though, how can you move forward or make peace with it? This is part of the process. And how do you move forward? By actively moving forward and getting back out there, you know, and also just sitting with the realization that this wasn't the right person for you, but you have to just kind of sit in it and go through it. So I got to find up a new word. I don't like that word closure. It really hangs people up because they think that, again, it's something that we can just kind of get beyond, and it's a process. So anyway, hang in there. Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex of world. We want you to explore with confidence. We are channelq.com. That's where you can find our show podcasted. All the old ones, you can go back and listen and check it out. And also go to wearechannelq.com to get your chance to win trip to Vegas for two, and also get some Lizzo tickets and meet her. So get up on that. We're back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for hanging out with me, and have an awesome, awesome night.